Hello and welcome to the first episode of God Calling, Vocation Vibes. These are conversations with Little Sisters of the Poor, and we will have some guests lined up for you as well. And our conversation for all this series will be vocation. And really, our vocation to holiness, as we all know, is the main vocation that God calls us to, every one of us through our baptism as a Christian. But there are also beautiful vocations within the church for special kinds of service. And I like to think of holy Christian and Catholic marriages as a vocation in the church, as a church vocation, because that vocation is so important to the life of the church and of the people of God. But also we have the vocation to priesthood, the vocation to religious life and other forms of consecrated life. And we will be talking mainly about women's religious life, but also including the others in our conversations. So I'm very happy to welcome today Sister Anne Marguerite. I'm Sister Carolyn from Enfield, Connecticut, and Sister Anne Marguerite is coming to us from Little Sisters of the Poor in Chicago.
Hello, Sister Carolyn. Good to see you.
Likewise.
So here in Chicago right now, we have some flurries, but it doesn't tamp down the enthusiasm of our homes. In fact, it makes it more exciting because today we are hosting a lot of different activities for our residents. And all of this activity is centered around making them happy. And our mother foundress, St. Jean Jugan, who was canonized by Pope Benedict XVI in 2009, her goal was to form with the needy elderly true families where these people felt secure and loved and could rise to their full potential. Jean Jugan founded the congregation in 1839, and at that time it was following one of the French revolutions, and there always were accommodations, if you will, for orphans, but not so for the needy elderly. So in her daily rounds of running her chores and going to mass, she would pass many needy elderly just begging on the street. And then one day Jean embraced a woman named Anne. She placed her over her shoulder and she carried her to her own home. And to arrive at this apartment, Jean had to go up a narrow circular staircase. When she got to her own apartment, she placed Anne lovingly in her own bed. And that night, Jean slept in the attic on the floor. From that first act of charity, the Little Sisters of the Poor were born. And now we're on 5 continents in 32 countries, and we take care of many, many needy elderly. The poor are our Lord. Those were her words. And in caring for them, and when we do the care, we are caring for our Lord. That's what we believe. That's what motivates us. And just like in any charism, it is a gift from the church, a gift the way we serve the church. For us as Little Sisters of the Poor, that's to show respect for life for the elderly. And we do so with great joy, following the example of our mother founder, St. Jean Jugan.
Thank you, Sister Anne. And of course, it's another great joy for us to welcome young adults, young people, to see the beauty of the vocation and to have them really deepen that appreciation and experience the awesome privilege that it is to serve Jesus himself in the elderly poor. Through their moments of joy and even as they are preparing to go home to God. So I know that you and your little sisters there in Chicago, as well as we and my little sisters, my community here in Connecticut, have recently held events for young women. You had a discernment retreat and we had a service and discernment weekend And so it really gave us a marvelous experience with young discerners, but we also have them in daily life and when college students come for service experiences and so forth. And I just want to qualify here that we will talk a lot during this podcast about young discerners. And that is not to say that discernment doesn't happen at every stage in life. And people are discerning religious life at various ages and at various junctions in their life. However, across the country, right now in the U.S., the average age of entrance into religious life is 28. So we know there are a lot of young discerners out there, and those are the ones that Sister and I and our sisters have the most experience with. So when we say young discerners, a lot of it applies to others as well, but it's based on our experience and our observations. So Sister Anne, please tell me, based on your experience with the young women at the retreat and others who have come to the home to serve Jesus and the poor, what are some of your observations about these young people?
Well, the recent group that visited us were most sincere in their desire to serve. And they couldn't have been more zealous. They had diverse backgrounds. Some were in school, studying for degrees in biology and creative writing and nursing. Yet they were all somehow in the same group, if you will, for being wanting to be available to serve. There weren't a lot of, I think I could say, people who stood out for saying they were discerning a vocation. I think they were discerning the possibility of, could this be for me? And in our gathering, they asked beautiful questions. And, you know, the question that's always asked is, how did you know? And I explained to them from my own personal experience that, well, you may know for certain, but sometimes you know by little ways and little things, the voice of a person, a circumstance. In my own experience, it was the ability to do things, to travel, to go about, to do all the things that people said, this will make you happy. And in the middle of all of that, I wasn't unhappy, but I felt an empty space. And that space was filled when I came to be with the residents. So I think they want something that's stable. They want something that's you're able to hold on to, but at the same time, they need a little more time because of so many choices in their life. Social media presents an enormous amount of challenge for them. Everything is in front of them with the internet, and it's more difficult, I think, on that level, not sincerity, but on that level, that there may be a few more distractions than in my day.
Those are good points. And, you know, the young women who came to us in Connecticut at our service and discernment weekend, they really amazed me at the risk they were taking by coming just to open their hearts, because they have a lot and they are sincerely looking at a life of simplicity and joyful service, which is our charism, and they wanted to learn more about it, which means that they stand ready to, if God is calling them to be, for instance, a little sister or a religious that has this vow of poverty, which most consecrated religious do, the following Jesus and the evangelical councils, that they actually are saying, I might consider giving this up if that is what God wants of me. And you brought up a good point about they're just coming to open themselves, because, you know, the series of podcast that we're doing is called God Calling, Vocation Vibes, but this particular episode is going to be called So Who's Picking Up? And, you know, when you pick up the phone, if it's a friend asking you out to lunch, you don't have to say yes because you may be busy. You don't know if you're going to be able to do it or not. If it's a salesman that wants to sell you something, you don't have to say yes because you have to decide whether you want it or not. And if it's God calling, you don't have to sign on the dotted line and commit your life as a religious or a priest. You are picking up so that you can hear what he has to say to you. And so I admire these young women that came to these two events because they were willing to pick up. And that's what Jesus wants. He just wants you to pick up and listen to what he has to say to you. Listen to the invitation that he's extending to you, whatever that is, because he loves you a lot. So it's so great when these women pick up and don't just let him go to voicemail. So what are some of the positive things that you see in the young women? I think you've seen this passion to make a difference. Please talk to us about that.
I think spiritually, they appear to be well advanced. Many were involved in Eucharistic adoration. Many of them go to Catholic colleges, universities. I think they've been catechized well. So I think comparatively, maybe for a few years ago, that wasn't the case. They really, really gave them of themselves to interact with the residents. And we're blessed at the Little Sisters that the residents are really the calling card, because those interactions between the elderly and the youth are rewarding for both. And sometimes the audacity of the residents with things they say or do, it charms the young people. And there have been, from gatherings in the past, friendships that still take place today with mail, with texting. And so I think the idea that they were able to meet the residents was good for them, was a positive in their discernment. I found them very respectful, certainly toward the other members who came to visit, but also toward the sisters. And when they were at Mass, it was quite easy to see their full participation. And, you know, when you can fully participate in a Mass, that's a wonderful thing. That means you're giving all your time and attention, as we know, to our Lord. And I thought that was striking myself.
Those are some good points. And, you know, these young people, I find that they have this huge desire to be of service and to do something meaningful. And it never ceases to amaze me how they can work on their degree and finish that and go into something that seems unrelated, but is so meaningful. And people desire to have meaning in their lives. Another thing that surprises me is the kinds of people that God sends to discern with us and that God calls to religious life in congregations across the country and around the world. And I would just like to say that in our group that came to our service and discernment weekend here in Connecticut, there was a young woman who is a postdoctoral research associate, science research associate at an Ivy League university, but her heart desires service of the poor and simplicity. And she was willing to pick up the call and come and have this service and discernment experience. And I'm thinking another of our little sisters whom you and I both know, who will be our guest at one of our future podcasts. And she was a fashion model and a dancer. So who would have thought? You know, you just don't know whom God is going to tap on the shoulder and say, may I issue an invitation? Could we talk? So what's your experience of that, sister, of the different backgrounds of people who come to discern or to experience the joy of serving the elderly?
I don't think we ever really know the way the Lord is going to tap them on the shoulder or grab them by the shoulder. One of our little sisters got the call, if you will, through a Wall Street Journal article. And she's a physician. She left her practice. She left it all behind because she felt drawn to what was portrayed in that article. And then when she came to visit, she found out the truth, what really is a part of our life, and that is interaction and serving Jesus. I think for young people, again, there's so many options for them. And just to acquire the knowledge of a certain religious congregation that would draw their attention, that would be something that they would be interested in. It's so easy now because of the internet. But I think these young women, from the creative writer student to the biology student, somehow when they were in that group together, they were all just young people who were searching. I think today that we just have to give them time because there is, and attention, because there are a lot of things that can be distractions in this life and in the call to follow the Lord in religious life. They view that as a big deal, and they want to make the right decisions. They want not to disappoint the Lord, nor themselves. And I think sometimes it takes time and it takes a lot of nurturing, but the Holy Spirit drives all of that. We have to do a lot of praying for them.
Yes, indeed. And the sister you mentioned who is a physician, she owned her own practice, she owned her own building, she was happy being a doctor, but she recognized there was something more, and that was a big risk for her to give everything up and to answer this call. And interestingly, the article on the front page of the Wall Street Journal was about our financial plan as Little Sisters of the Poor. And we try to be very fiscally responsible, but we go out begging and we count a lot on divine providence and on our donors. And they were just intrigued by this this confidence in providence. And that was what caught her eye. And so God used the Wall Street Journal of all publications to draw her into religious life. And a lot of times young people will try to figure out, because of what they majored in, what God's going to call them to. But, you know, he's a God of surprises, and he can use your knowledge and your talents and your education for his purposes. So sometimes we kind of overfigure, and we need to move over and let God have a say. He wants us to be truly, truly happy. So yes, we do the intellectual consideration, but also the discernment of the heart, and especially discernment in deep prayer. So I'd like to mention one other young woman. She's one of our young sisters who came from a background one wouldn't have expected. And she was studying mineral science. She was attending one of the top universities for science. And as she was coming very close to entering our religious family, we invited her on a picnic with us up. We were going up to the mountains for the day. And so we sisters were going up this winding road up the mountain, and the rocks were glistening on either side. And she got a tear in her eye. And I said, "Are you all right?" And she said, "I am, but I miss my rocks." And she was right at the point of giving all that to God and entering religious life. And I was very touched. That was really a poignant moment, because although religious life is a very joyful experience, it's not without sacrifices. But to see young people who are willing to make a sacrifice because they don't stop loving the things that they love and are passionate about, but they love God and his people even more. It's so amazing. And it's just such a beautiful example. That's one of the things that I really, really admire in today's young people. So Sister Ann, we've heard about several young people discerning. Could you tell us a little bit about your own story?
Well, I hope this is appropriate for public viewing, but I worked for the Little Sisters for about 15 years before I entered. And during that time, I owned a home and I had a mortgage. And I had a car or two or three, and not all at once. And of course, I had car payments. And I was able to travel to Europe twice, take a few cruises, to do all the things that people said will make me happy. I also had a decent social life. And to this day, many, many good friends from that time. When I was with the residents, I was the star. I didn't make myself the star, but they let me shine in the way I was able to make them laugh or to sing to them or to be able to care for them when they weren't feeling well or just simply to let them be. And when I mean a star, I think it's like Sister in Her Rocks. This is where you feel yourself listening. This is where you feel yourself shining. And these residents helped me determine that. When I entered the Little Sisters, I walked away from a lot. I am grateful, very grateful to this day for the formation that we receive as Little Sisters of the Poor. It's rock solid. It helps you discern, if you will, the gifts of the world versus the gifts of the kingdom, and how we can possess what is certainly boundless in comparison to what we thought we had, and that we had it good, and we had everything that made us happy. I just knew that I should be a little sister, even after trying to talk myself out of it, because I knew God in all humility. God had given me the gift to make the residents happy, and they gave me something, which was acceptance and security and appreciation for what I was able to give them. And I cannot even tell you how much they have given me over the years.
Beautiful. It's true. We receive so much more than we give. And sometimes young people say, well, how can you just give up everything? But what we receive is there's no comparison. And we receive God himself in a very special way. So if any young women would like to talk to us about their personal discernment journey or learn more about how the consecrated religious life is lived in our congregation of Little Sisters of the Poor, feel free to contact me, Sister Carolyn, at lspusapodcast@gmail.com. So it's lspusapodcast@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to journey with you and to listen and to care and to refer you to my sisters and my dear precious elderly poor for prayer support. So we've talked a lot about the young people, and now, Sister, I'd like to kind of digress a few minutes and talk about religious communities across the country, really around the world. But there are many, many religious communities, a great variety, which have many different charisms, apostolates, but also charisms, ways of living out their spirituality, ways of living out the gospel. And we treasure our friendships with religious sisters and brothers and priests of various orders and from the diocese, an archdiocese. We really treasure those friendships, and we have so much appreciation for the glory that their witness gives to God and this myriad richness of reflection of charisms. Could you address that, Sister? Could you talk about that?
Yes, it's true that we have to be partners, if you will, just by virtue of our consecration. And a partnership in as much as we live our charisms to the best of our abilities. I think in later years, many new congregations have sprung up because of the document written by John Paul II, Vita Consecrata. And I think that gave a new impetus, if you will, to religious life. It helped establish how religious communities take on a new and greater elan, if you will, towards their own charism and how they're living their lives. We here in Chicago are very close to certain congregations by the similarities of our mission. And if we get an abundance of something through our collecting, we're able to share that with those sisters or brothers, and vice versa. And so we have to be aware of each other, be grateful of each other's contribution, because none of us has it all sewn up. It is certainly a potluck, if you will, of different groups, religious groups, but religious congregations. But altogether, the kingdom is alive and well. And we have God to thank for calling new congregations into being, for sustaining those of us who have been established for a longer time. And we owe a great debt, I believe, and this is very personal on my part, for those of us in the United States who have received a parochial school education, those sisters and brothers who took care of the baby Mulcomers when they were coming of age and taught us our catechism and brought us through to adulthood, we owe them a tremendous amount of gratitude. And I think even thinking of them as well established for a number of years versus a newer congregation, it all works toward the same goal. We're all contributing to the kingdom of heaven right here, right before us in our midst.
We all desire to help a young man or woman to find where God wants that person to be. So there would be nothing worse than having a sister in one's religious family who does not have that call and is not happy. Religious life is meant to be a happy experience. And so there's no need to be afraid, because religious sisters, religious brothers, priests, and priests from the archdiocese or the diocese want to help each one find where God wants them to be. So, Sister Anne, we talked a little bit about some of the challenges that young adults face, and you mentioned social media. And I can't help but think, you know, our last several popes have talked quite a bit about social media and said, although there are some dangers in it and some evil takes place through social media, it is so important to fill the airwaves with good and to get the message of Jesus and his gospel out there and to let the beauty shine. And I'm hoping that our podcast series on religious vocations will in some way help to fill the airwaves with good. But what are some of the other challenges besides the demands of social media that you see that the young people encounter when they're feeling this, they kind of hear the call and they're old and busy? What do you see as the main obstacles?
Well, I think that, but just going back to our recent gathering with the young girls, one of them was very aware of the pull that social media had on her. So she told me she was done with Facebook. She had cashed it in and she didn't want to see that anymore. She didn't want to waste her time with that. So hopefully the messages of our Holy Fathers in past, previous, have been, and present, have been heard. And the Holy Spirit is inspiring them to just let that go. And let's see what is at the here and now. I think many young people today, unfortunately, come from fractured homes. And although they may have been well provided for materially, maybe not so much in the unity of a family as you would call traditional, if I might say that. I think it helps with the maturity of the young person to have the support of a solid family life. And it can only help, because family life is the model, if you will, of the church. And so coming from a stable family background would help them understand what we're trying to do in serving the church today. I think some of them also may have a lack of energy, if you will, because things have been put in front of them so easily over the years. They've been well cared for. They've been provided with many things that they've had to, that they wanted and used during their lives, that they don't have the wherewithal to know that sometimes you got to boost up the energy a little bit, pick up the phone, as Sister Carolyn said, and do your part, because you know, it's not going to be done for you. In the end, for my own story, and when I try to speak to young women, it takes a leap of faith. And if your faith is not built on a solid foundation, for example, Eucharistic adoration, the rosary, those things that help confine us and narrow our vision just to see God a little more clearly. Scripture, to see Jesus alive and well in the scripture. These things are assets for us in our search. So we have to do our part, and we have to be supported by these things that are so readily available for us, because it's our journey and it's our leap of faith.
And it's so true that many, many of the young people out there today haven't had those things in their lives. Their life has been different, and they're so busy. But like you alluded to, it's important to be intentional. There are only so many hours in a day. So am I going to block out the time? Am I going to take that call from God? Am I going to check this out? Or am I going to continue on the treadmill and never get to a place where my heart is truly at home? And then I'd like to talk about one other factor that I find sometimes it makes it difficult for young people, and that is that they want to be sure. And I had a young woman one time tell me, "Sister, I love the apostolate. I love the spiritual life. I love the community life. I love the charism. I love everything about it, but I'm only 95% sure." Well, you know what? That's all you need, because you got to leave God 5%. What kind of a gift would it be if you had to be absolutely certain? But if you're willing to trust in him and make that leap of faith, like Sister Anne said, what a beautiful gift that is. So listen to the Lord, pray over it, but don't let fear hold you back. And even those who have not been well catechized, or who have not had a lengthy sacramental life, who haven't had those advantages, maybe you don't know how to say the rosary, you know, there are beautiful, beautiful young people whom God calls in spite of not having that. But what a beautiful thing that in coming into the ambiance of religious, and in journeying in discernment, and in entering into religious life, you would be able to enter into all the graces, as Sister said, of those things that would support you in your journey with Jesus. So, Sister, we've talked a lot about the qualities that we see in today's young discerners, and the challenges that they have, and the backgrounds that they come from. So, in short, what kind of person do you think Jesus is looking for?
I think Jesus is looking for someone who is willing to love him and follow him, sometimes in the most absurd ways. And if you think about the people Jesus chose, the apostles, if you think about those fishermen on the shore who had the courage when they heard the call to leave their father, when you think about, he called a traitor, and he loved that traitor. Peter himself denied our Lord. You don't have to be perfect. Far from it, believe you me, because it took a while for me to believe that I would be acceptable to the Lord. I don't like to use the word worthy, because he is worthy of all. But I think that we have to know that saints and sinners alike have been called by the Lord, and they serve him today, to this day. It doesn't matter if you're keeping a scorecard. Don't do that. Just know that he loves you like no one else on this earth loves you, and he can overlook any perceived fault or failing or sin that you hold in your heart, because he loves you. And when he says, follow me, don't shortchange yourself with your response, because you'll be surprised what following the Lord will bring.
So true. And I love how you said, don't keep a scorecard. I remember a vocation talk I heard once from a very happy young sister. And she said in her discernment, she decided to list the reasons why she should enter religious life and the reasons why she should not. And she came up with 3 reasons why she should and 20 reasons why she should not. But she entered because God was calling her, and she's so happy because her heart's at home and she knows she's in the right place. So again, we do need to apply our intellect, but we also need to listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit in our heart and bring it to prayer. So I would encourage everyone to be an ambassador for vocations. It's really important to pray for vocations. It's important to pray for our own vocation, but to be an ambassador for vocations to priesthood and consecrated life, because you know where those special young people are, who they are, and where they are. And a very high percentage of today's young priests and religious say that they were invited by someone else to consider the vocation. And in most cases, it was not a family member. They were invited by a friend, by an adult in their life. So please don't ever underestimate the value of that invitation that you might give to a young person, just to say, you know, I see something really special in you. Have you ever thought about? And then to place that idea in their minds. I would also like to mention that although Sister and I have talked about anecdotally our experience with young people and primarily with young women, kind of boots on the ground experience, there are also some wonderful studies about who's actually entering religious life. So we've talked about who's out there discerning in our experience, but there are some wonderful studies about who's entering religious life and priesthood. And those can be found on the website of the National Religious Vocation Conference. It's nrvc.net. And if you click on studies, it'll take you to links to studies and reports of all kinds. And again, just very, very interesting and wonderful information that helps you see how you yourself and young people you know can identify those signs and can support and strengthen one another in the pursuit of vocation. So, you know, every year in November, we have National Vocation Awareness Month. So we're hoping that young people, when the church celebrates these special weeks, these special days of prayer, these special events in highlighting vocations, that young people will pray over this and take some additional steps to find out more about what's going on in their heart, to get spiritual direction, to talk to a priest, a sister, a brother, to begin some serious vocational discernment, if that's what they feel God calling them to do. And so no better time than the present to start that. So Sister Anne, thank you so much for this delightful vocation discussion. You know, that's one of my favorite topics, and I thank you for sharing your insights on it. And I thank everybody who's joined us, and I can't encourage you enough to be an ambassador for vocations for the good of our church and of God's people who are so in need. And again, if anyone would wish to talk with us about discernment or about how we live our consecrated religious life as Little Sisters of the Poor, and you want to know more, you can contact me at lspusapodcast@gmail.com. So again, it's Sister Carolyn, and I'm at lspusapodcast@gmail.com. And you're also welcome to check out our website. It's littlesistersofthepoor.org. And there you can look up Sister Anne's location in Chicago, mine in Connecticut, or any of the others across the country. And you can see all different ways that you can be a part of our mission, vocation, volunteering, donor, whatever, a prayer partner. So feel free to look at that and see some different ways that you can become one of our collaborators. We'll be so very grateful. And we look forward to being back with you as this series continues, the God Calling Vocation series. And we will see you in the meantime in the Eucharist. You have in your journey deep peace and abundant joy. Thank you.